Amen. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject of fools. F-O-O-L-S, fools. This will be the way of the fool. That is the title of our sermon this morning, is the way of the fool. Outside of someone who is possibly playing the long con game, no one that I know enjoys being thought of as a fool. Is there anyone here that enjoys being thought the fool? I don't enjoy being thought the fool. But many of us have played the fool, and many of us have been played by those seeking to take advantage of fools. I realize that some of our younger audience may not know who this is, as it has kind of fell into the history books in popularity, partly because of animal activists shutting them down. But how many of y'all remember when the circuses were very popular? You had Barnum and Bailey. I remember going, and a lot of that has waned as, again, animal rights activists and others have said that it's harmful to the animals and mistreating them to do that. And so they've kind of fallen off in popularity. For some of the younger generation, as of just a few years ago, they were somewhat made aware of the ever-popular P.T. Barnum as the movie The Greatest Showman came out. It's a musical. And so they were introduced to this character. What's interesting, in P.T. Barnum, of Barnum and Bailey's own words, when he came to America, he said this: "A fool is born every minute in the United States. And the American people want to be fooled, and I am here to fool them. If you want to give him your money," he said, "I'm more than happy to take it." I'm afraid that there are many entertainers of that ilk that know that you're willing to spend your hard-earned money, whether they support godliness and righteousness or not. They know that you will still spend your money, and they're happy to let you do it. And perhaps more sinister are those, I wonder, that the mindset of certain psychologists and doctors today that are promoting confusion about sexual identity in our youth. Do they, like P.T. Barnum, just see a bunch of suckers that money can be made off of? This is not the crux of our message, but I wonder, us being so foolish as to think that the way that God created us can just blow with the wind. One morning you can be one thing and the next another. It'd be as to say, why don't we let our young people jump off a building if they identify as a bird? Or let them smoke cigarettes. We need to stop discriminating between those that are 18 or older. My child ought to be able to choose whether they can smoke cigarettes or not. It's their body. What about driving cars? We could let them drink and drive. They're old enough to decide. Why not let children decide when they're ready for a tattoo? Again, it's their body. William, if you want that tattoo, son, go ahead. No. It's foolishness in the extreme. Yet to some degree, we have all played the fool. Due to the fall of man in the Garden of Eden and the process of aging, learning, and hopefully maturing along the way, foolishness seems to be bound up in our very bones and marrow. I looked up some of the modern synonyms for fool. If you do just a quick Google search, you can find the same results I did. I didn't type up all of them, just a handful of them. Just listen to these. A fool, or a goose, a nut, a ninny, a doofus, a halfwit, a dingbat, a turkey. I remember the first time I heard a middle-aged man, he was fond of that term. He'd call people turkeys. A dipstick, a ninny hammer, an idiot, a moron, a simpleton, a loser, a nitwit, a ding-dong, a numbskull, a blockhead, a knucklehead, and a nincompoop. A wally. That was one of them. I just didn't know if our audience would be familiar with it. But yes, or a wally. And there's others. Webster's Ninth Collegiate Dictionary defines a fool as this: it's a person that is lacking in judgment or prudence. Or two, one who is victimized or made to look foolish, duped. Three, It could just simply be a harmlessly deranged person or one lacking in common powers of understanding. Or four, to spend your hard-earned money on trifles that are without advantage, to spend time idly or aimlessly. And I want you to know this morning that God's word has a lot to say about the fool and his or her foolishness, because it's not just to one sex or the other. Men and women can both play the fool. And each one of these definitions that we just read can be found and represented in God's word, and then some. Proverbs 22:15 says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And again, along the same line, Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. So discipline and instruction give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When I read that and I think about some of my own experiences as a child, I think about the experience I've had with my own children. It takes a lot of discipline and training and instruction to keep a child from walking in foolishness. I don't share any of what I'm about to share to embarrass any of my children. I'll start with something embarrassing of my own just to show you how foolish I am. When I was a child, I remember watching the cartoon Spider-Man on a Saturday morning and thinking, how cool would it be to have Spider-Man's powers? Now, children, you'll want to talk. Children, parents, you'll want to talk to your children and make sure they know that this is not a wise thing to do. It's a foolish thing. I thought, I'm a little bit scared of the idea of allowing a spider to bite me like Spider-Man did. So what I will do is I went and found a sack of baby spiders in their spider's mama sack, and I ate that sack of baby spiders. Don't tell me that foolishness is not bound up in the heart of a child. And it could be not something quite so foolish. Just how about a lack of discretion? Not recognizing the situation that's before you. Many of you are familiar with this story, as many of us were together when this happened. But we had been introduced to a friend from over the pond where Susan is right now. And this is a gentleman who I looked up to and admire and do admire. I was introduced to him through Steve, who Steve has been friends with him for many, many years, and he'd come and minister to our little church here all the way from England. He and his precious wife, Mary. And this gentleman, Paul's a little bit more heavy set than myself. And Abigail was a wee little girl. And her first time meeting him, she just looked at him and she said, "You're fat. My dad is skinny. I could have buried myself in the ground." I thought, oh my gosh, Abby. Boys, perhaps more than girls, tend to do things rashly and without thought. I'm not saying that girls don't, but you think, what's wrong with you? But as I share this, just know that my son gets this honest. And this is something that, though we're laughing right now, I've wept tears over this in my own life for my own rashness, foolishness, even into adulthood, even into Christendom, when I've put my faith in the Lord, still doing things and going, why do I do things like that? When my mother died, that voice that said, "Jason, you're going to rue doing that. You're going to regret that. That's foolish." Katie has taken up the torch, and she'll say, "Jason, do not do that. You know that if you do that, you're going to be saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that." Don't be foolish. I'm just saying that to say, if I tell a story on William, he gets it honest. And this is something we have to seek the Lord to strive to be above. But William tends to be rash at times, and we say, "William, why would you do that? That was foolish, son." And probably the thing that stands out most recently to me, where I had let it really get the best of me, and I lashed out at William for it, was when he jumped on the back of the swing that little Jane was sitting in, and it was very foolish the way he jumped on it. And what happened was, is her finger got pinched between the chain links of the swing, and y'all are aware, y'all had prayed for her, but it literally exploded the tip of her finger, and her fingernail was hanging off. And as soon as I heard Emily screaming that something was wrong, and I ran over there, and I looked at the situation, I looked at William standing there with his eyes beginning to glaze over, and I knew that he'd done something. What have you done? I just jumped on this. That was foolish. I was so upset, but part of it was because I was scared. I was looking at her finger, and of course, then I had to apologize to William. But we do foolish things. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But a lack of discretion and playing the fool are not limited, again, to children. It's not limited to children. I don't share anything that I share to glory and pass shame. I just share to you to show how foolish we can be. Before I came to the Lord, I was wont, as many people still are, to go and drink and drive. I actually ran around with a girl for a period that was how we spent our time together. We would go buy a case of beer and go drive around drinking. And one evening with this same young lady, I dropped her off at a friend's house. I don't know that I'd ever been so inebriated while driving. And I got pulled over by the police officers for nothing less than sitting at a green light for perhaps 30 minutes. And he's like, do you know why we pulled you over? No, sir. You were sitting at that green light. Ah, I did not realize that. I think I had probably passed out at the wheel and just came to and, it's green, let's go. And he says, I'm going to ask you to step out of the vehicle. So I end up being carried to jail, my vehicle impounded. And then the attorney that I ended up having to get, because you have to get an attorney to go for your court date, begged me and pleaded with me to fight the case, to fight the DWI that I'd been charged, was going to be charged with. And I remember looking at him and saying, I don't want to fight the DWI that I've been. I was absolutely drunk out of my mind the night that I got pulled over. I was thankful to be being punished for it. I was thankful that I hadn't hurt anyone. And so I rejected his pleas to fight this. And right before we entered the courtroom, he finally came like he didn't already know or have this information. He's like, it's a good thing we didn't fight it. I just found out what your blood alcohol content level was, and it's well above any reasonable way that we could have fought this. You were well over the limit. And I was like, I know that. I told you that. But saying that, that didn't cure my foolishness. I still didn't repent. I didn't come to the Lord. And many, 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 many months later, I was still drinking, still hanging out with my friends, still partying. Now, I didn't have a license at this time. I was having to depend on other people to drive me around. And since I didn't ever have to drive, I was never the designated driver when we were wise enough to have one. And so I had already started drinking as my friends were gathering over the weekend. And some of my friends there said, hey, we just got a phone call from a girl. There's this house party going on near the TCU campus. We've been invited. Let's go. You're going to be the driver. And I was like, I can't drive. I'm already drinking. No, I'm not driving. They're like, that's not fair. You never have to be the designated driver. You always get to drink. You have to be the driver tonight. I was like, I am already tipsy. I have no business driving. I said, and we don't know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. Whatever little bit of judgment I had, I was trying to exercise it that evening. This is foolish. But I'm a pushover. And so they kept badgering and kept badgering. So I relented and said, okay, I'll drive. I'll stop drinking right now and I'll drive. So I drive us to the party. The party's a bust, not having the time that they had hoped to have. So they say, let's get out of here. So we turn around, we're leaving Fort Worth, kind of over near Berry Street. Any of y'all that ever been on Berry Street as it comes back onto 35, you've got the middle turn lane, and you've got two or three lanes on one side and two or three lanes on the other. And I'm driving. There's a truck full of us in this F-150 with an extended cab. To our left, there's a bunch of flashing police car sirens going off. They've already got someone pulled. I don't know what they're addressing, but they're addressing something over there. And to my utter bewilderment, as I'm getting ready to come up to the red light with a gas station on my right, this car from two or three lanes over coming across the bridge swerves all the way over and gets in our lane and is coming head on at me. So much so I can see her coming that I throw his truck in reverse, hit the gas, and I'm peeling out going backwards, and she still proceeds to hit us head on. Now remember, we got police officers over here. I don't have a license. I'd been drinking. All my friends had been drinking. None of us were even 21 years old. So after she hits us, I throw the truck in park. I jump out and I said, I'm done. I'm not driving. I'm done. And I threw myself in the back seat. So now one of my friends who's had a lot to drink is driving. And we proceed. I don't know what the police are doing because they never came and got us. We watch this lady drive off and hit another building. But because we're not doing right, because we're living foolishly, we can't even do the right thing and call the police to protect people from what she's doing. And my friends, I said, let's go. We need to go home. They said, no, she just hit us. We need to talk to her. They follow her down this dark alley. We watch her hit another building. Then she just parks the car and she gets out and starts walking to us. She's got her hands up her shirt. And I'm like, let's go. And she's like, you boys need to get out of here. The police is on their way. I said, please, let's go. She was high out of her mind. Foolishness. How stupid can you be? I'm going to drive having drank. I'm going to drive not having a license. I'm going to drive knowing that you really never know what's going to happen. You can't control the traffic patterns of other people and their lack of judgment and discretion. God's word says in Proverbs 10:1 that fools die for want of wisdom. Fools die for want of wisdom. God also declares in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are a lot of people that have knowledge, but knowledge for knowledge's sake only puffs up. It only produces pride. God says the beginning of true knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. Psalm 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. How many of you know that atheism and agnosticism are not new? Just because we have the theory of evolution, that is not what has produced atheism. Since God created man and woman, there have been those that in their hearts and in their minds have tried to deny the reality of God. Because acknowledging the reality of God acknowledges the fact there is one above you that you are subject to. You're going to have to answer to that someone. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That may not be you. Perhaps you know there's a God. But knowing that there's a God is not the same as serving and trusting that God. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but who walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Despite what pop culture says, giving you advice to just follow your heart, the Bible says he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Again in Proverbs 23, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling, stirring up trouble, and putting their nose in places that it doesn't belong. Curiosity killed the cat. It's killed many a person as well. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. Ladies, are you building your house? Are you honoring your husband? Are you trying to encourage him in the Lord? Are you berating and belittling? Are you tearing your children down? Are you instructing and disciplining and training and loving and pointing towards the Lord? You can build up your house or you can tear it down with your very own hands. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Does your temper ever get the best of you? I don't know why, but in my youth, I admired and thought much of the man who had a quick temper. I thought it was a man to be feared. Having grown up and now knowing the Lord, I know that that was foolishness. Someone who cannot control their temper is an unwalled city. He's not a disciplined man. He's a foolish man. Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. They make light of those things that Christ died and shed His blood to redeem us from because we've walked in sin. Much of our entertainment, and that which we call comedy, is based on the very things that Christ had to die for, laughing at the things that Christ shed His blood for. Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. Any of you ever jumped the gun and spoke before you've heard the whole matter? I have. Bear with me here. Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Again, it's not just the fool who says there is no God. We can all lose our way. We can fret against what God has spoken to us. And listen to this. Proverbs 24:9, the very thought of foolishness. Not just your actions, the very thought of foolishness is sin. And the scorner is an abomination to men. These verses are just a sampling of what God says in regard to the fool. Just a sampling. We don't have time to look at all the places that God addresses foolishness and walking in the way of a fool. But we see clearly, just in this sampling, one of the hallmarks of the way of a fool is that he is not heeding God's instruction and counsel. Not heeding God's instruction and counsel. I want to share with you, and this will only take a moment, four consequences in regard to rejecting God's instructions and walking in the way of the fool this morning. Number one, rejecting God's instructions can have lasting consequences. Hear me this morning, even if you step into the Redeemer, if you step into Jesus and find forgiveness, that doesn't mean there aren't consequences in the natural. Most of you are familiar with the story of King Saul. Israel had rejected God as being their sole king. They wanted a flesh and blood king. And so he gave them Saul, a man head and shoulders above all the rest, a handsome man, a tall man, one that the crowds could look to. Ah, that's our champion, that's our man. But Saul, unlike his follow-up David, would not walk in the ways of the Lord. We mentioned when Dustin preached that Saul sought the glory and admiration of men more than he sought the fellowship of God. Saul had rejected the ways of God. He stepped outside of his lane and did that which God had not commanded him to do. He saw that Samuel was tearing the prophet and priest of God, and his men's hearts were beginning to melt for fear. And he was tired of waiting, so he took it upon himself to offer up the sacrifice. Having done so and rejecting the way of God, Samuel comes in and Samuel says to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 13, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which He commanded thee." We're not even talking about the commandment of men. We're not talking about the wisdom of men. We're talking about something that God has clearly declared to you, Saul, and you've rejected it. Listen to this. "For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Samuel, being both priest and prophet, saw that had Saul just obeyed the Lord, Jesus' lineage would have been through the line of Saul. He would have established His kingdom forever. But because he rejected the Lord, there was a lasting consequence to he and all his progeny. And God would choose another man. And so Jesus would come through the lineage and the house of David. Rejecting God's instructions can have unforeseen consequences. Again, looking to one of the kings of Israel, King Asa. God had been with King Asa, and as Asa had trusted God at the words of the prophet Azariah. and God had wrought a mighty deliverance and victory to Israel against their enemies. But even after God showed himself so strong on their behalf, when the next temptation came and another army had raised up itself to come against Israel, rather than seek the Lord and continue to trust the Lord, Asa sought the arm of the flesh. And he sought some of the neighboring nations. He conscripted them to help him fight against his enemies, seeking their help rather than the Lord's help. And listen to what God raised up Hananiah the prophet. And he went in 2 Chronicles and speaks to King Asa. Listen to what he says. He's rebuking him for not trusting God, but looking to the arm of flesh. And he says this: "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." So imagine it. Here's a spiritual truth. Even now, God is looking for those that will look to him and trust him. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. He's looking. Is there anyone? Will you trust me? Will you look to me? He had already provided a mighty deliverance to King Asa and the people of Israel. And yet Asa had neglected looking unto the Lord, but had looked elsewhere. And again, these words: "Herein, King Asa, thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars." Your foolishness can have unforeseen consequences. This doesn't tell us that King Asa couldn't have repented and still found grace in the sight of God. But the next paragraph, we're to read on, he didn't. Instead, he got angry at Hananiah and had him locked up. He was angry that Hananiah had rebuked him. When we walk in foolishness, we'll often find ourselves in opposition to God's people because we don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. Rejecting God's instructions can have deadly consequences. We've already alluded to King David. King David, again, a man after God's own heart, not without mistake. One of the mistakes that he made after God had provided victory after victory after victory, giving him victory everywhere he went. And not because he had trusted the arm of the flesh, not because he had numbered the people to see what kind of power he had behind him, but because he had trusted in his God. And yet when God had provided all these victories, David called his men together and he says, "I want you to go out and I want you to count the people." He wants to see what kind of power, manpower he has. And one of his closest confidants says, "This isn't good. I don't think you should do this. Hasn't God blessed you and blessed the kingdom of Israel? Look at all the people. There's so many of us. It's not wise that you would go and count the people." David refuses to hearken to godly counsel, and he counts them. And God is angry with him. And in 2 Samuel 24:10, it says, "And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people." Anyone here ever fallen into sin and your heart just broke? It felt like your sin was weighing down so heavy upon you that your heart would just melt out and burst like wax. You were ashamed. You felt foolish. You were tempted to hide it lest everyone around you know about it. David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in them what I have done. And now I beseech thee," I'm begging you, "O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." David had disregarded godly counsel and went his own way. Again, David was God's man, and yet he forsook counsel offered him when it was told him it was not wise to number the people. David had played the fool. My question to you this morning is, how many times have you? Are you even playing the fool now? Number four, and lastly, rejecting God's instructions can have eternal consequences. Rejecting God's instructions can have eternal consequences. God's word paints a grim and heartbreaking picture for those who reject his counsel, choosing rather to continue in the way of the fool. There is a coming day of judgment. God's word declares that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. It is the scorner and the mocker that says, you Christians keep promising about your God's return. Where is the promise of his coming? But make no mistake, he will return. But he tarries his coming for different reasons, but one of them being because he desires that none should perish. He gives all men time to repent and calls them to repent. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 and 11. Actually, it might be 10 through 15. I'm not sure. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. So on the day of judgment, that enemy, that old serpent, is going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here it is. And whosoever... We've already dealt with the devil and the false prophet and his minions. But whosoever was not found written in the book of life was also cast into the lake of fire. Rejecting God's instructions can have eternal consequences. This morning, just know, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. All have played the fool. None are innocent in walking in the way of a fool before the Lord. But this morning, this is a good news message. There's hope, even for the foolish. You may have played the fool before God, but God beckons you to turn to him and receive life and wisdom. Proverbs 8:5 says this, and he's speaking to the foolish, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. He's inviting the person that has played the fool to come to him, and he will give you an understanding heart. He will give you wisdom. There is great wisdom in first recognizing that you have played the fool. Just acknowledging before God you recognize you have played the fool is the step in the right direction of wisdom. Psalm 69:5 says, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. No matter how you have played the fool, no matter how I have played the fool, no matter if the police officer on Berry Street that night in 2020 saw what had occurred right across from where his car was or not, my sin is not hidden. My foolishness is not hidden. You cannot hide your sin from God, and yet he beckons and invites you to come to him. It may surprise some of you here this morning or those listening later online or now online I'm actually inviting you this morning to continue in the way of a fool, but with a stark contrast and difference. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may then be wise." The system of this world is going to have its ways of doing things and going about life that does not produce life but death. Chase sins, eat all you want, drink all you want, abuse all you want, do what you want, do unto you what feels good. Store unto you the most treasures that you can accumulate unto yourself, despite the fact that you're going to die and carry none of it with you. The world has its wisdom. God has His wisdom. God's instruction to you today is to turn from your sin, turn from your foolishness, and put your faith in His Son, Jesus. What you have before you this morning is you can either be a fool in the eyes of man and let the world think you foolish for following Jesus Christ, or you can continue to be a fool in the eyes of God. I don't know about you, but I would much rather be a fool in the eyes of man than a fool in the eyes of God. In case you're listening and you're not aware this morning, God Almighty sent His Son, Jesus, to die for your sins, to redeem you from the curse of the law and the way that you have transgressed. Ever popular verse for the church and the unchurched, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But we continue. "God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I did not send my Son to condemn you, I sent Him to save you. He that believeth on Him," on Jesus, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And here is condemnation. Here's why they're condemned. "Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, exposed, made manifest. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Yes, if you're walking in darkness and you step into the light, you will be exposed. But God also offers to redeem and to cleanse and to heal. The work of Jesus is to take you and to clean you. He will wash you. He says His blood washing you will wash you whiter than any fooler soap could ever do. Someone who washed clothes of yesteryear. Some of you sitting here, perhaps you've been baptized when you were young. Some of you listening, perhaps you attend church. What's interesting with John 3:16 and the verses after it are, in context, this is all part of the same conversation that Jesus had with the Pharisee Nicodemus. And unto Nicodemus He said, "A man must be born again." And Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, said, "I don't know what you're talking about. Are you saying that I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born a second time?" "No. You were once born of water. Here you sit, flesh and blood. You were born. I'm not denying it. Steve's not denying it. There you sit, Eric. But in order to partake of the salvation that Jesus offers, in order to partake in the kingdom of God, a man, a woman, a child must be born again. The Lord Jesus will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and He will place His Spirit within you. He will give you new life. He will give you a new heart. He will give you new desires. You need to turn from your sin and turn to Him, but it's not about your ability and power to turn. It's just your willingness to turn and say, Lord, help me. Steve talked about last week that in some cases, people are immediately delivered from those things that hold them in bondage. I was struggling with heroin. I was immediately delivered, someone would say when they came to the Lord. Yet someone else comes and they're having a hard time kicking the habit of cigarettes. Whatever the case may be, all the Lord is asking is that you turn to Him and give it to Him, and He will see you delivered. Again, you have a choice before you today. You can continue in your sin. You can continue in the way of a fool and be seen as foolish in the eyes of God. You can try to hide yourself from the light and remain in darkness, trying to cover over your sins. Or you can turn from your sin to God who offers you salvation and be seen as foolish, perhaps, by your peers who don't take God up on His offer of salvation. Perhaps seen foolish by your family if they don't take Him up on His offer of salvation. But it's worth it. The world is, for lack of a better way to put it right now, headed to hell in a handbasket. And you can either stay on that ship of fools and go there with them, or you can step into the ark of salvation that God is offering in His Son. God at one time judged all the earth with water. When He comes back, He's going to judge it with fire. And you will either be protected by the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus, or you will be found standing in your own foolishness and your own works, and you will be naked before Him. And at that point, it will be too late. I'm getting ready to close. I want you to hear this morning. Again, just to reference our King David. Some of you probably remember this story, but in 1 Samuel 21, how many of you know that David was often fleeing for his life from King Saul? King Saul had become jealous over David and often sought to kill him, and yet David wouldn't raise his hand against Saul. He didn't want to raise his hand against God's anointed, no matter how far God's anointed had fallen. And during one of these times of fleeing from Saul, David ran to King Achish, the king of Gath. But what happened was, this king of Gath, his men began to look at David and they said, hey, this is David, that Israelite. This is the one that they all sing songs about. They say Saul has killed his hundreds, but David's his thousands. This is that same guy. And David, realizing what's happening, uh-oh, they know who I am. They're going to kill me. Listen to what he does. And David changed his behavior before them and feigned, he's faking here, he feigned himself mad. Oh, I got ahead of myself, sorry. Yeah, he feigned himself mad in their hands. It says, and he scrabbled on the doors of the gate and he let his spittle fall down upon his beard. David's acting like a madman, crazy man, foolish man. He ain't got no sense. He's scrabbling on the door and he's drooling all over himself. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? No, get him out of here. We have madmen enough of our own to deal with in our city. Get rid of this man. David was not afraid to be seen as a fool in the eyes of men as it meant his salvation. This morning, you have to get over your fear of man and just determine that it's better to fear the Lord and to put yourself in His hands and the salvation that He offers, and be thought a fool in the sight of man rather than to be a fool in the sight of God. The world will think you foolish for following Jesus. but in him and no other is salvation. Will you be a fool in the eyes of man or a fool in the eyes of God? I want to close reading this song to you this morning. This is from one of the first bands I was introduced to when my mother came to the Lord. It's from Petra. And it's called Fool's Gold. And it says this: some say this life, that's the Christian life, is only foolishness. No waiting pot of gold in the faith that I possess. But the treasures of this life will slowly turn to dust. And this fool will find his gold in the Savior that I trust. Fool's gold is waiting in a crown. Fool's gold in a city coming down. I'll leave the gold that I can't afford for the higher prize that I'm pressing toward. I'll preach the foolish cross of Christ and wait for my reward. Fool's gold. The wisdom of the cross is easy to receive, but only foolishness to them that don't believe. They may say that I'm a fool for the cross that I proclaim, but the gold that I must seek won't be found in earthly fame. When the crowns of gold all lay before his feet, then the worthy Lamb of God is the treasure we will keep. Some may call me foolish, some may call me odd, but I'd rather be a fool in the eyes of men than a fool in the eyes of God. This morning I invite you to choose: be a fool in the eyes of men or a fool in the eyes of God. I beg you and implore you, if you've not given your life to the Lord, to be a fool this morning for faith and forgiveness. Overcome your fear of man and rather fear the Lord. So this morning, I just want to invite you, wherever you are, if ever you were going in a place where you just had to forego worrying about being embarrassed, there are no eyes in this room that you need fear. Everyone in this room is here to encourage you in the Lord. If you're in a place where you've not given your life to the Lord, I stand up here to invite you to come up here with me so that we can pray together and that you can tell everyone in this room that you've just given your life to the Lord. Or perhaps this morning you do belong to the Lord, but you've allowed some foolishness to enter in like David, and you've played the part of the fool despite knowing the Lord. There is healing. I encourage you and invite you to come up here and we'll pray together before the Lord. I extend this offer. I won't belabor it. But I invite you right now to come up if you need prayer and want to pray. If you need the Lord, I invite you to come up with me and pray this morning. If you're listening online right where you are and you want to respond to the Lord, I encourage you in your own words just to pray to Him, to confess your sins, your known sins to Him, to ask Him to come into your life and to heal you and cleanse you, and He will. I encourage you also to, as soon as you do that, to find a friend, tell them what you've done, tell them the decision you've made, let them know that you've given yourself to the Lord, publicly declare Him, and don't turn back. Come up. What are we doing?